chapter 1, verse 17, just the one verse that we will read. And we thank you for being faithful to the house of the Lord. God bless you today. James 1, verse 17, let's read it together out loud. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Amen. How amazing that we have good gifts and perfect gifts that come from above, and the Lord continues to minister those gifts to us. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Now, the tradition of giving gifts at Christmas may have been based on the wise men, the kings coming from the east and giving their gifts to the Lord. Maybe that's where it started. I don't know. But it's a fun tradition. Especially when the smiles and the expressions light up the faces of those little ones as they are surprised or maybe surprised at what they got. And then just the special gifts that we give to one another. Good gifts, tasty treats, ingenious items, gift cards that can be used for sales that come after Christmas. Timeless treasures that may be given, and a special meal by a busy mom. I especially appreciate that. Amen. We thank the Lord for it. And then those gifts might be in drawers or closets now. They might be displayed on the shelf or on the wall, or maybe they got returned for an exchange. Wrong size, different color, whatever. But nonetheless, I'm thankful we have a program like Christmas for Christ where we can give to what's eternal. Amen. A church may be here on the earth. Well, of course it is here on the earth, but it has an eternal impact. It makes a difference in people's souls, and we thank the Lord for it. Praise God. And I know the Lord will give back to you. I know he will. Because when you reach out for souls, you are getting in touch with the heartbeat of God. He came to seek and to save the lost. And we were among that number, but thank God there's been a tremendous change, an eternal change that has come to us, and we thank the Lord for it. We look back to the Christmas story, And remember the men who were identified as magi. They're intellectuals. They were astronomers and scientists, perhaps, in that regard. But seeking, desiring, and willing to change their schedules, spend their money, put themselves through hardship because they felt very strongly about seeking the one whom they felt to be the king. Amen. And when they opened their treasures and presented their gifts, it was with a heart of gratitude. You know, they had just completed a journey of hundreds of miles, maybe even 1,000 miles. And as they journeyed through that length of time, did they wonder, what's it going to be like to encounter him? What should we give him? Did they discuss among themselves, you know, I think I'll give, and they compared their ideas, and they wondered who should give what. But we know the significance of what they gave in the gold, frankincense, and myrrh is not lost in our perspective and what we know it stood for. Gold for a king, frankincense for deity, myrrh for a sacrifice and death of the Lord that was going to ultimately take place. And what did Mary and Joseph think when they opened their treasures and those gifts were presented? You know, we see it in the little plays and the pictures and pageantry and so on. But what did they think about those gifts? Obviously, gold, frankincense, and myrrh may not have been as practical as they were thinking. Nowadays, people bring Pampers and onesies and all of those things and play little games that enjoy their time of fellowship. But all of this that was going on, the intangible gifts, the wonder and the words of the shepherds that caused many to sit up and take notice of, what? You saw angels? You heard them? They spoke about the Christ, the Savior, who would be born in the city of David. And there were many who were impacted by those words. And the worship of the wise men. They fell on their faces and worshiped him. The Christ child. Amen. And then the gift of obedience. The obedience of both of those groups to the commands of angels and to the command of God. What gifts. Amen. Intangible as they may be. And perhaps not a value assigned to them in terms of dollars and cents. But, oh my, what common sense. Praise God. We're going to worship him. We're going to exalt him. Praise God. And then the gospel stories to tell about the gifts that were given from Jesus. His beginning of miracles at a wedding and the wine that he spoke into existence out of the water. A beverage, not booze. The Lord didn't help them to get smashed. How ridiculous. And he's trying to rescue people from debauchery and decadence. And he says, here, go ahead and celebrate. No, it was just a beverage. But my, what a miracle. Praise God. The feeding of thousands, 4,000, 5,000. It's almost as if the Lord is trying to say, doesn't matter to me. I can work it. I can provide. I can bless. A prefigurement of the prophecy of never hungering and never thirsting. In John 6:35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And those that heard it would wonder, how can he do that? How's that going to work? How's that going to come to pass? John recorded those words, and then it was John who recorded the promise again in Revelation 7:16. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. And he was prophesying about what the Lord was going to bring to pass. Praise God. And we're looking for that fulfillment. But the healing that the Lord gave as a gift, the blind who were able to see, the deaf who were able to hear, the lame who walked, and the lepers who were restored to their families and their friends, the paralyzed and the disabled who were touched by the hand of God. And I looked again at the Pentecostal life story of that little baby who was born disfigured, but how prayer brought about the change, how prayer made the difference. Praise God, because we have a God who heals and the power of Jesus Christ to do a work of restoration. Praise God. The deliverance that happened to Mary Magdalene with seven demons cast out of her. The man they called Legion from Gadara because he had thousands of demons within him. God brought a deliverance. Hallelujah. The woman at the well who was not well in her heart. No, she had heartache. She had hopelessness. But God, hallelujah, coming in the flesh would do a tremendous work and heal the brokenhearted. Something that had been prophesied at least three times in Scripture, in the Psalms, in Isaiah, and then the Lord saying, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your hearing. Thank God, there comes a day when it is fulfilled. There comes a time when it comes to pass. Thank the Lord, it's not just all something in the future. It's not all just something that we hope to have happen, but there will come the day that the trumpet is going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Praise God. That adulterous woman, abused and used, but Jesus telling her, go and sin no more. The resurrection that happened in Jairus' daughter's life, and then the widow of Nain's son, and the Lazarus that came forth and presented to his sisters Mary and Martha. Thank God for the power of the Lord. Tremendous gifts, tremendous blessings. The Bible says that truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. And he was full of grace and truth. Thank God. Truth to make us free. Not just truth to be ascribed in a philosophical sense and wondered about and debated and discussed and talked about. But truth that becomes reality. Truth that makes a difference in our lives. Truth that sets us free. Not truth in a harsh rigidity, but the Lord declaring, I am the way, the truth, and the life. A graceful truth, if you will. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Free indeed. Praise God. Thank the Lord for it. The grace for forgiveness. Again, that adulterous woman, hearing her accusers quoting from Moses, saying that there needs to be a stoning, but then asking Jesus, what sayest thou? And she not knowing what is going to happen. Stoning perhaps being her end that very day. Jesus said nothing. He stooped over and wrote on the ground. They kept asking him. Just like we've got to keep praying. Amen. They kept asking him, and Jesus just kept writing, not saying a word. You know, we've often wondered, what did he write? We've often conjectured, maybe he wrote the sins of those accusers, and that's why they began to walk away one by one. But I remembered Hosea. I remembered how he took an adulterous wife into his home. How those children, whether or not he knew they were his, he made them his own. And how in Hosea 2 and 19, the Lord is reaching out to Israel and saying, I will betroth thee unto me. I'm going to make you engaged to me. And we often say it, there's a relationship with the Lord. And you look at Hosea 2 and 19, and the Lord says, this is forever. It's in righteousness. It's in judgment. It's in loving kindness. It's in mercies. It's in faithfulness. Put that up on the screen because we need to go through it again. You need to understand what the Lord is desiring to do and how it's not just an encounter that takes place and he thwarts some self-righteous individuals in saying that, no, Moses is not going to be fulfilled here. It's my grace and truth that is going to be fulfilled. But thank God he reaches out to you and he reaches out to me and says this relationship is forever. It's in righteousness. It's in judgment. It's in loving kindness. It's in mercies. It's in faithfulness. And you're going to know me. Hallelujah. Thank God that we can respond to the Lord in that regard and not go back to a sinful lifestyle, not continue in the mistakes and the wrongdoing that we were rescued from, but to take it to heart. We will sin no more because of his power and his gift of grace. Praise God. Oh, what gifts. We ought to praise the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Again, I don't know what he wrote. You don't know what he wrote, but it could have been these words from Hosea. And that's why the woman was able to stand up. That's why she was able to say, no man condemns me, Lord. And she heard the Lord say, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And her life was changed from that moment. Praise God. Now, the gift of grace giving. letting other people know that the Lord can make a change in their lives. And the Lord saying to his disciples, I will make you fishers of men. There was a promise in that calling. There was a recognition of a purpose. And it was already at work because those men desired so much to see the Messiah. They were so excited about the promises that were being fulfilled. Andrew went and got Peter. Philip went and got Nathanael. They were already becoming fishers of men. They were already inviting others to come to the recognition and realization of who Jesus is. Even though Nathanael would say, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Oh, you're going to see. You're going to see. Praise God. Thank the Lord that he followed on to see what the Lord was going to do. But this is a good plan. The saying may be considered trite, but it works. Each one, say it with me, reach one. Each one, reach one. Oh, that's trite. That's cute. It works. It works. And it was already at work when they were excited about Jesus being the Messiah. And John the Baptist saying, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord, the creative power of God that is at work when he says, I'm going to make you. Oh, yes, we're made new creatures, but we're new creatures that work for Christ and desire to see his fulfillment come to pass. The Lord sent his disciples out. He gave them power and authority. He told them, heal the sick, cast out devils, preach the kingdom of God. And as they began to leave him and walk away from him into the places that he had sent them, were they tense and tentative, or were they brave and bold? This is what he said to do. That's what we're going to do. Praise God. And they came back rejoicing. Lord, even the devils are subject to us in your name. Glory to God. The devils are at work in our land today, in our society. There are so many things that are changing, so many things that are corrupt, so many things that are perverted. But God has given you power. God has given you authority. Praise God. This thing was not done in a corner, Paul said. Thank God for the power of the Lord that would make a difference in your life no matter where you are. And he still sends his disciples. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. Glory to God. And he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. I believe there's a connection there because of the power that he said you're going to receive. You shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. Praise God. And then when they received the Holy Ghost, some days later, they spoke in tongues of the wonderful works of God. Then Peter stood up with the 11. Thank God for the unity. He stood up with the 11, and he preached to them from the Word of God, a message of conviction, a message of salvation, a message of promise. Praise God. And oh my, what tremendous things that the Lord would do in the book of Acts. The gifts that were in operation in that place. Thank God, the gift of the Holy Ghost poured out just as the Lord had promised. The Jews receiving it and speaking in other tongues and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Likewise, the Samaritans being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and Peter and John laying hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. The Gentiles in Acts chapter 10, having received the Holy Ghost and then being commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, one who was despised, one who was set aside, one that they didn't want to have any fellowship with. And to make it even worse, he was of the Italian band. And those Romans could make you dance to their tune. Whatever they said, you had to do it. Despised, rejected. But God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. The disciples of John the Baptist, already religious, already following the Lord, already desirous of the things of God. Paul laid his hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. 9 gifts of the Spirit that we see enumerated in 1 Corinthians 12. And we already in operation in the book of Acts, the gift of healing, the lame man hearing the words from Peter saying, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he did. Amen. Aeneas, who hears Peter say, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. And he too was able to stand up and walk. The gift of healing. The gift of miracles. Philip in Samaria in Acts 8 and 6. The miracles that he was able to do. And Tabitha being raised from the dead as Peter takes her by the hand and raises her up. Eutychus, who stayed up all night. You guys stay up all night? Raised up. After falling from the third story. Praise God. Oh, I'm thankful that the Lord has life for all of us, especially for our youth. They don't have to go out into this world to experience life. They don't have to get themselves drunk or high or whatever. Amen. Thank God there can be a change in the power of the Lord to bring about the blessing that God wants to give as a gift. Amen. Thank the Lord for the gift of miracles, the gift of discerning of spirits. That guy named Elymas trying to keep the ruler from hearing the truth. And Paul calling him a child of the devil and he was struck blind. That's power. That's authority. Amen. The young girl in Philippi who was going around saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, and they show us the way of salvation. Pretty good words, pretty good introduction, pretty good advertisement, but something wrong with her spirit. And Paul commanding the devil to come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank the Lord. Discerning of spirits was an operation. A word of knowledge. You would think that would have been a celebration, but instead, Paul and Silas get thrown in jail. And then an earthquake. And the doors being flung open. Stocks being removed. God knows how. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God knows how to keep you and to bless you. Amen. And the Philippian jailer realizing he will end up giving his life in exchange for any of the prisoners who had escaped. And he already figured they're gone, so he was about to kill himself with a sword. But a word of knowledge. Paul saying, do thyself no harm. We're all here. Praise God. Oh, yes. The Holy Ghost witnessed it in every city, Paul said. Bonds and afflictions await me. If I go to Jerusalem, I know what's going to happen. But I like the way he nailed it down. I like the way he said, I'm ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He knew that commitment. He knew that devotion, that consecration, that surrender that he had to the Lord. Now the question is, I want to ask you, what gifts do you bring to the Lord? What commitment do you make? What devotion have you settled upon in this year of 2020? The scripture admonishes us to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is just our reasonable service, and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that you can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's the good and the perfect again. The good and perfect gifts that the Lord brings, the good and perfect will that he has for you. And that will make us acceptable to God. Amen. Amen. An eternal God who relates to us in time. Yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same. So thankful he takes care of our past. He promises us a positive future. And he's with us in the present tense situations that we face over and over again. It's been said that yesterday is history, tomorrow is the future, and today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Amen. What will you do with that time for the Lord? Oh, I trust we're going to continue to give our time to God because He gives us the time of our life. The fellow sings, I'm going to have the time of my life when the time of my life is over. Well, I'm not going to wait until it's over. I'm going to have it now. Praise God. I'm going to trust what God is going to do now. Amen. I'm going to attend church faithfully. I'm going to serve God 24/7. I'm going to work for Him and His kingdom. I'm going to be a witness for Him, all His wonders, all His works that He's done for me and for you and for those in the Scripture. Praise God. I'm going to give it all I've got with all of my heart. And that's the way the Scripture says to do it. Let me just share with you here quickly how Moses said it. Love the Lord your God and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Joshua echoed that and expanded on it a bit. Love the Lord your God. Walk in all His ways. Keep His commandments. Cleave unto Him. Serve Him with all your heart and all your soul. Samuel said it very concisely. Fear the Lord. Serve Him in truth with all your heart. And he added, consider how great things He hath done for you. Praise God. And then the Lord says it, just as we spoke of it earlier. You shall seek me and find me, the Lord said, when you shall search for me with all your heart. Amen. Stand with me now, please. 2020 offers a number of opportunities. It offers a number of possibilities. When the Lord is still admonishing His people, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3, still the promise that God wants you to see in 2020. Go ahead and call. Go ahead and ask me. I will answer, and I will show you. You're going to see things you've never seen before. They're great and mighty, and you don't even know them. Oh, there's many things that we do know. There's many things we have experienced. There's many blessings we have received, but God is saying, there's more. I want to show you more. Great and mighty things that you've not experienced, you've not known, you've not realized in your own lives. And I've got them for you. Praise God. So, the gift that we bring, the gift that we want to give, it may not be good, it may not be perfect, but we're saying, God, I want to give you my whole heart. I want to give you my whole life. I want to give you everything that I am, everything that I can be. Lord, I want to put it in your hands. Praise God. Praise God. Why don't you close your eyes for just a moment now? The gifts that we've received from the Lord will... We'll forget about Christmas gifts for a moment here. The gifts that we've received from the Lord, good and perfect, coming down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, nor shadow of turning. He doesn't change. He doesn't alter. He doesn't have to be different deity to different people. No, He's the same. And He continues His blessing in power and in might. And He's offering all of that again to you. And I trust our focus, our desire is, I want to receive from you, Lord. Let's just raise our hands in reception. Raise our hands in reaching. Eto kalarabo.